Now we are going to, by God's grace, have our theme song before opening our study today. And our dear brother Dick will be able to sing it for us.
Let me enlarge my screen a bit here and put these participants over to one side. There we go. The Eight Doctors Song. Good health is a treasure, and what's more, it's free. If sought for, then guarded, quite healthy you'll be. I'm healthy, I'm happy, and if you ask why, I've been to eight doctors will be my reply. The first doctor playfully tousled my hair. He said, leave a city and get some fresh air. The second was warm as he beamed down on me. He said, this is how you get vitamin D. I'm healthy, I'm happy, and if you ask why, I've been to eight doctors will be my reply. The third careful doctor prescribed temperance, and since then when tempted I say get thee hence. The fourth doctor canceled our evening date. He said, get some sleep now, you've stayed up too late. I'm healthy, I'm happy, and if you ask why, I've been to eight doctors will be my reply. The fifth doctor told me, enough of just talk. Come now, put your shoes on, let's go for a walk. The sixth doctor pointed to the bountiful field and planned me a menu from all it would yield. I'm healthy, I'm happy, and if you ask why, I've been to eight doctors will be my reply. The seventh fine doctor just gushed with advice. He said, drink it, bathe in it, water is nice. The eighth doctor smiled as he said with a nod, all things work together if you just trust in God. I'm healthy, I'm happy, and if you ask why, I've been to eight doctors will be my reply.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We also have our dear brother Bob with the prayers, but if anyone would like to be able to pray to begin our sermon, well, we just use the one that our dear brother had recorded. If you are moved to pray, dear ones, you can be able to unmute your mic before we begin our study.
Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this beautiful Sabbath day of the 25th of April, 2015. Welcome to those that have tuned in to WLMR Radio and to those listening to the recording, as well as those that are on the phone with us. And what a privilege and an honor it is to have you join in fellowship with the rest of us in worshiping our God on his holy Sabbath day in spirit and in truth. So welcome, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Our opening song is entitled, O Brother, O Sister, Be Faithful. And the lyrics can be found on our website at lightministries.com/ID1960.htm. O brother, be faithful, soon Jesus will come, for whom we have waited so long. Oh, soon we shall enter our glorious home and join in the conqueror's song. Oh, sister, be faithful, for why should we prove unfaithful to him who has shown such deep, such unbounded and infinite love, who died to redeem us his own. Oh, brother, be faithful, the city of gold, prepared for the good and the blessed, is waiting its portals of pearl to unfold and welcome thee into thy rest. Then, sister, be faithful, not long shall we stay in weariness here and forlorn. Time's dark night of sorrow is wearing away. We haste to the glorious morn. Oh, brother, be faithful, he soon will descend, creation's omnipotent king. While legions of angels his chariot attend, and palm wreaths of victory bring. Oh, sister, be faithful, and soon shalt thou hear thy Savior pronounce the glad word. Well done, faithful servant, thy title is clear to enter the joy of thy Lord. Oh, brother, be faithful, eternity's years shall tell for thy faithfulness now. When bright smiles of gladness shall scatter thy tears, a coronet gleam on thy brow. Oh, sister, be faithful, the promise is sure that waits for the faithful and tried to reign with the ransomed, immortal and pure, and ever with Jesus abide. Amen, dear ones. Be faithful and true to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will ever with him abide. I invite you to please kneel and bow your heads for opening prayer. Our dear beloved Father in heaven, thank you so very much for loving us while we were yet sinners, but not leaving us as sinners, but sending Jesus down to show our need of a to be clothed with his robe of righteousness. And not just to have these things done for us externally, but to have Jesus in our heart, to where we unite with him in a spiritual marriage, where he becomes our husband and we become his faithful bride, where we'll never part again. Savior, I pray that you will grant us more and more of thy divine grace. Let it be within us, welling up and filling us to the full, and then overflowing in good deeds and kindness to others, and also in helping others to recognize their sin and their need of forgiveness. Dear Father, we give you full and complete control. Please take control of ourselves and of this little home church and of the meeting at this moment. Dispel all darkness, all custom and tradition and preconceived ideas and opinions, and remove them far away from us. Dear Savior, I pray that the bright beams of your righteousness and truth will dispel the darkness within us and lighten us with your truth. And dear Spirit, lead and guide us to comprehend this truth in a greater way than we ever have done before. Even though the subjects and the topics that we'll be discussing may be very familiar to us, increase our comprehension of them that we may behold wondrous things. And we thank you so much for doing so. Dear Father, I pray that you'll be with all of those whom we have prayed for, all of the prayer requests, both silent and known. Please be with Jake and continue to heal him, and thank you so much and praise your name that the surgery went well and that he's on the road to recovery. Please also be with our dear sister Parma and our dear sister Brenda and all, and sister Joy and all the others that are suffering from affliction. Please heal them according to thy perfect will. Give them the divine grace and strength to endure without complaining. Plant within them happiness and joy that will indeed aid in their recovery and also be a living witness to others. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being here in our midst. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So welcome, dear ones, and we're glad that you're joining with us at this time. Our sermon for today is entitled The Basic Principles of Health. This is part three and the last part of our short series. And when we began this short series, we understood that Christ died in order to redeem and to save us from sin and death. And so this means that we are now Christ's possession, and therefore we're not really free to do as we want with our bodies. We saw that God desires each one of us to be a holy temple for his dwelling, and in order to help us accomplish this glorious purpose, God mercifully revealed to us 8 laws and principles of health that govern our bodies. And for those who would like to follow along with the quotes that I'll be referring to, these can be found on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1437.htm. So God, in order to help us be this holy temple for his dwelling, revealed to each one of us that there were 8 laws and principles of health. And these were, look at quote number 1 from Ministry of Healing, page 127. Pure air, sunlight, abstemiousness, which means temperance, rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, trust in divine power. Now in part 1, we examined the health laws and principles of air, exercise, and nutrition. And last time in part 2, we examined the health principles of rest, sunlight, and temperance. And last time about rest, we discovered that each human being has what is referred to as a constitution. And this constitution is like a storage house of energy, which the body will tap into in order to handle emergencies, such as stress, sickness, and other type of emergencies. So then if we overwork, then we are actually borrowing energy from our constitutional reserves in order to perform that extra work. But then when this reserve energy that we've used up today is demanded at some future emergency, our constitution will not be able to provide it. And then our health will begin to break down, as that energy will then be robbed from other parts of our body, other organs. But physical rest, we saw, was more than just ceasing being busy in various activities, because it also included sleep. We learned that when we sleep, the activity of our body changes gears. Certain areas of our brain switch off and other areas switch on. And these nighttime body systems will then go to work on repairing any damage that occurred during the day. They will also reorganize the daily information that we gathered and will also replenish the energy used up and will rejuvenate the whole system. And we then understood that in order to help these nighttime body systems perform their work and thus get the most benefit out of sleep, that it would be best if we went to bed between 9 to 10 p.m. each night. And this is because every hour of sleep that we gain before midnight will actually benefit our body the same as 2 hours of sleep after midnight. So every hour before 12 a.m. will be as beneficial as 2 hours of sleep after 12 a.m. And then we also discovered that just as physical rest is necessary for health, and without it we would soon wear out and die, so spiritual rest is just as essential for our well-being. And without it, we will just as surely die, but it will be an eternal death. And only Jesus Christ alone can provide you and me with this spiritual rest. Now, we then learned last time about the health law and principle of sunlight, that sunlight is one of nature's most healing agents. It destroys bacteria. It helps cure or prevent infections. It has a positive effect on the cardiovascular fitness and muscular endurance of people. It decreases the risk for breast cancer. It reduces blood pressure, decreases excess cholesterol, increases red blood and white blood cells, improves circulation, aids in weight loss. And unfiltered sunlight enables our skin to produce vitamin D, which is essential for calcium to be utilized by our bones and systems. And we then understood that just as sunlight is essential to our health, and we should not hide ourselves away from its warming, beneficial rays, so then we should not hide ourselves away from Jesus, who is the Son of Righteousness, because he desires to come to each one of us with healing in his wings, which is Malachi 4:2. And we also learned last time on the health law and principle of temperance, that in order to be in the best condition of health, we must be temperate. Temperance means moderation in all things affecting our daily lives, whether in work, eating, drinking, thinking, etc. And temperance also means abstinence or avoidance of all things which are harmful to our health. And we also learned that temperance has much to do with our salvation. Anything that lessens our physical health will enfeeble our mind and thus make it less capable of discriminating between right and wrong. We then become less capable of choosing the good, and in our weakened condition, we also have less strength of will to do that which we know to be right. So then if we desire to obtain an incorruptible crown of eternal life and not to be cast away from salvation, we learned that we must be temperate in all things lawful. So that is briefly what we learned last time regarding those particular laws and principles of health. And today we'll be examining the last two principles of health, which are trust and water. Now, what about this health law and principle of trust? In such a hectic world in which we live and work, with all its pressures and its deadlines, it can be a very difficult way to keep from getting tired, from being run down and stressed out. And stress is any situation or action that puts extra pressure or intensity upon you, whether this is physical or mental in nature. Some of the symptoms of stress upon the body includes an increase in blood pressure, an increase in breathing, perspiration, and heartbeat. And the body helps to combat stress by releasing chemicals from the adrenal glands. So then you can see that if we continually place ourselves in unnecessary stressful situations, such as through worry, through fighting, being fearful, or by participating in or even watching competitive sports and games, then the adrenal glands will become overworked, will become wore out, and so then when a real crisis occurs, our bodies will be less capable of physically handling it. But of all these unnecessary stressful situations, worry is by far the most widely practiced. And dear ones, worry in the great majority of all cases is absolutely unnecessary. Worry is actually borrowing trouble from the future, and thus before it has actually occurred. We think upon all that might happen in a given situation, and then we focus our attention particularly upon the negative and hurtful things which could occur. If we continue thinking and dwelling upon these purely imagined possibilities, then we soon begin to worry about these things occurring for real, and we try to think on how to avoid them. We then become stressed, and our body reacts to this stress. So even though all throughout this experience, it was purely imagined and thus fictional, yet our body responded to this borrowing of trouble from the future as if it was really happening. And the really sad part of all this is that in many cases, these negative and hurtful things which we imagined occurring may never had occurred at all. So then all our worry about these things was really useless. And it was just a complete waste of time, energy, and health. So worry is borrowing trouble before it's occurred. And your body will respond to it as if it has occurred. And thus it will be less capable of responding to it if it occurs in the future. Now, the direct opposite of worry is trust. Trust means to have full confidence in something or in someone. And the Bible has quite a lot to say about trust. If you look at quote number 2, the Bible tells us that we are not to trust in weapons or in wealth, which is Psalms 49, 6-7. It states that we are not to trust in leaders, which is Psalms 146, verse 3. We're not to trust in men, which is Jeremiah 17, verse 5. and we're even not to trust in ourselves, which is Ezekiel 33, verse 13. But yet these things are the very areas which the majority of people do place their trust in. So then where should we place our trust? If we're not to put it in wealth or in weapons or in leaders and men or even in ourselves, where are we to put our trust? In Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4, we're told, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." In Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So then, while it's quite natural for people to place their trust somewhere, how sad it is that so many place their trust anywhere except in the loving and trustworthy Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. But instead, let us follow this admonition found in Psalm 62, verse 8. "Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." And having trust in God when we find ourselves afflicted by disease can make all the difference, especially in the amount of time involved in our recovery. Worry will not only delay our healing time, but it will also bring us down into discouragement. But trusting in God will speed up our healing time and will bring us up into happiness and joy. And dear ones, our Savior Jesus Christ is indeed concerned with our health. If you examine his many miracles, you'll find that Jesus revealed the power that is continually at work in our behalf to sustain and to heal us. You'll notice that when any part of the body sustains injury, a natural healing process is at once begun to restore it back to health. But the power working through these natural agencies is not inherent in nature itself, but the power is from God. All life-giving and health-restoring power is from our Creator. And thus God is working day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, to keep you and me alive and to build up and restore us back to health by his power. So then when you recover from sickness and disease, it was God's divine power who restored you. It was not the herbs or the medications you took. It was not the simple remedies that you followed, even these eight laws of health. These did not heal you. It was God's divine power that healed you through these simple means. So then this also reveals to us that sickness, suffering, and death are not the work of God, but these are the work of another power that is directly opposite of God, which is Lucifer. If you look at quote number 3, "Satan is the one who seeks to destroy us." In Job 2, verse 7, we're told, "So went Satan forth and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot even to his crown or the top of his head. In Luke 13, verses 11 and 16, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years. And in Mark 9, verse 22, and oft times it, or the foul spirit, or in other words, Satan, hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. So Satan is the one who seeks to destroy us through sickness, disease, and even accidents. But God instead is the one who seeks our restoration. If you look at quote number 4. In Luke 13, verses 12 to 13. And when Jesus saw her, or the bowed woman that Satan had bound for 18 years, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity or disease. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And then in Exodus 15:26, we're told, I am the Lord that healeth thee. So God and your Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ do indeed care and love each one of us tremendously, and they are both interested in you and your health. And you can indeed place your full and complete trust in them and can know of a surety that they will never leave you nor forsake you, but will help you to become restored. In quote number 5, we're told in Psalms 42, verse 11, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, In everything give thanks, everything, dear ones, even the negative things. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So this command to trust so fully in God that you can thank him in everything, even in the trials, even in the sicknesses, even in the diseases and the negative situations that you find yourselves involved in, is also an assurance that all things will work out for our best and eternal good. In Romans 8:28, we're told, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So just as Joseph was sold into slavery, was then falsely accused and committed to jail, yet he didn't lose hope. He kept trusting in God, and those things worked together for his good, and he was promoted into a position that allowed millions to be saved from starvation. All things, including the negative things, work together for good to those who love and trust in God. So then if you realize this, then you can be truly happy even in the midst of trials, because you know that God is in control and that these things are going to work together for your good, not for your destruction. And believe it or not, dear ones, if you are happy during trials, this happiness will also help you to remain in or to regain your health. We're told in Proverbs 17, verse 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Now, God would never tell us to be thankful and happy for anything that would turn out to actually harm us in the end. And so this very fact that he tells us to be thankful is actually a promise that he will work his miracles to turn any negative situation around and make it a positive one. So you can truly be happy and joyful even in the most negative of circumstances if you love the Lord and are allowing him to work for your salvation. If you look at quote number 6 from Psalms 27, verse 1 and 5 and 6. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And dear ones, if you remember, when the children of Israel were going to war, when they began to sing, God brought their deliverance. God will do the same for us if we will just look to him and be joyful in him. He will also bring our deliverance. In Psalms 40, verses 1 to 3, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And then in Psalms 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. So you can truly trust in the Lord at all times and be joyful in the fact that he will deliver you. So that's the health law and principle of trust. Now what about the health law and principle of water? Water is a gift of God. Water acts as a solvent. It acts as a medium of transportation. It is a temperature regulator, and it is also a lubricant. More than 60% of our entire body is made up of water. Our blood, lungs, heart, and kidneys comprise about 80% of water. And our brain, heart, nerves, and liver, and skin comprise about 70% of water. So you can see that water plays a very important part in our body's functioning, which includes our health. Now, throughout each day, we lose up to 80 ounces of water, which is the equivalent of 10 8-ounce glasses. Through urination, we lose about 44 ounces. Through perspiration and respiration, we lose about 16 ounces each. And then through defecation, we lose 4 ounces, which totals 80 ounces of water. But when we eat our food, we only regain about 24 ounces of this water. So then this leaves a deficit of 56 ounces of water each day that we need to drink from water in order to replenish this deficit. So in other words, we need to drink 7 8-ounce glasses of water each day just to replenish the deficit of water that is used up. So then if we should not drink at least 7 8-ounce glasses of water each day to replenish the deficit of water that we lose each day, then we will become dehydrated. And dehydration will lead to all kinds of problems, ranging from fatigue to even poor digestion. And just so you understand, if you allow your body to go beyond just 10% dehydration, then it can lead to your death. So water is very important for us to survive. So in health, and especially when we're sick, pure water is one of heaven's choicest blessings. It is the drink that God originally provided to quench the thirst of animals and mankind. And if we drink water freely, it will help to supply the necessities of each body system and will assist nature to resist and overcome disease. But taking water internally is only one of its uses. The other way to use water is externally. And using it externally is one of the easiest and most satisfactory ways of regulating the circulation of the blood. Cleanliness is also essential to both physical and mental health, and impurities are constantly being thrown off from the body through the skin. The skin has millions of different small pores, and these pores become quickly clogged unless they're kept clean by frequent washing. And if our skin is clogged, then the impurities that should pass off through the skin will instead become kept within the body and thus become an additional burden to the other eliminating organs, such as our kidneys and liver. And one of the best ways to keep our skin and its pores clean and open is by taking a warm bath or shower. These forms of bathing will allow the pores to become more free, more easy in eliminating poisons and impurities. And persons that are healthy should by all means bathe as often as twice a week. Those who are sick should bathe even more often in order to keep their skin thoroughly cleansed and allow the pores to do their work in freeing the body from impurities. So you can see that someone who is feeble and someone who is diseased definitely need the advantages and blessings obtained from bathing. By taking a warm bath, the muscles become more flexible. The mind and body are invigorated. The intellect is made brighter and quicker. And every faculty becomes livelier. Taking a bath will soothe your nerves. It will promote general perspiration. It will quicken your circulation. It will overcome obstructions in the system. Breathing will become easier, and your kidneys and urinary organs will be benefited. All by taking a bath. Bathing also helps your bowels, your stomach, and liver, and it will bring new life to your body. I remember going on a long walk in the mountains and spent, probably 4 or more hours doing various physical things. And I was pretty much tired when I got back. And I decided that I'd take a shower and wash the dust and everything off. And after I took a shower, it was like I had the same amount of energy I had before I had gone hiking in the mountains. So bathing does indeed rejuvenate the system. Taking a bath will also promote digestion. And instead of increasing the likelihood of catching a cold, a bath, if properly taken, will actually fortify your body against taking cold, because your circulation will be improved by the blood coming to the skin surface and thus more easily encouraging a regular circulation of the blood through all the vessels of the body. So if you're having problems with poor circulation, one way to overcome that is to take a bath on a regular basis and thus allow the blood vessels to regain their circulatorial capabilities. But bathing is only one way to keep ourselves clean. We also need to be careful to keep our clothing clean. If the clothing we wear is not often washed, then it will become filthy with impurities which are thrown off from the body through perspiration. And if we continue to wear these filthy clothes, then the pores of our skin will reabsorb this waste matter in the clothes. And then this waste matter will enter back into the blood and then from the blood throughout the entire body system. And one way that our body tries to relieve itself of these poisonous impurities is by producing fevers, or what is termed disease. And if those who are diseased would assist nature in her efforts to eliminate the poisons from the body that are causing the fever, and if they will resort to the use of pure soft water in aiding the body, then much suffering would be prevented. But instead of aiding nature in trying to remove the poisonous matter from their system, many instead will look for some pill or medicine to take. And this medicine will then force the body to have to deal with it as well as having to try and rid itself of the original poisons that brought on the fever in the first place. So if we would only realize that since water is such a great solvent in reducing the concentration of these poisons in our system and thus lessening the severity of the fever and of the disease, then how much better and easier it would be to use water, both internally as well as externally, than it would be to rely only on expensive medication in seeking to reduce the fever. Now, when our Creator gave water to satisfy our thirst, He also used this precious gift to symbolize the importance of a spiritual life and relationship with Him. You look at quote number 7. Jesus Christ is indeed the living water, and His promise is to everyone that if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, which is John 7:37. So just as we need water to sustain our physical life each day, so we also need Jesus in our lives each day to sustain our spiritual life by recreating within us through his grace and strength, his likeness and character, and thus satisfy our thirst. In Revelation 21 verse 6, we're told, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And then in 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So that was the health law and principle of water, which was the eighth law that we've gone over. So these are all the eight laws or principles of health. And all these simple laws are mercifully given us by our Creator to help us to either maintain or to regain our health. And by giving us these laws and health principles, God is showing us that he is indeed interested in each one of us as individuals, and he desires us to be as healthy as we can be, all because of his love for us. If you look at quote number 8 from 3 John verse 2, God tells us, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So, dear ones, it is God, not the herbs, not the medications, not even the simple remedies. It is God who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, as we're told in Psalms 103, verses 3 to 4. And you know, each one of you can indeed be in health, both physically and spiritually, if you will only become intelligent about each of these health principles, if you will repent to God for breaking of any of these laws, and then resolve to work in harmony with him in applying these principles in your daily life, you will indeed be healthy, both physically and spiritually, because you will be able to eat of the nourishing bread of life. You will find in him true rest and peace. You will become warmed by the bright beams of his righteousness. And thus you will leave all your cares and worries at his feet, trusting implicitly in him and drinking freely of the pure water of life. Now, when Christ healed those who were suffering from various diseases, he warned these afflicted ones, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee, which is John 5:14. This meant that since they had brought disease upon themselves by transgressing one or more of these laws of God, then health could only be regained or preserved by obedience to these laws. So then this shows us that most, but not all, of disease is the result of sin. The laws of nature, as truly as the Ten Commandments of the Decalogue, are divine. And so only in obedience to these laws can health be recovered or preserved. And we need to learn that every practice which destroys our physical, mental, or spiritual energies is sin. and that health can be secured only through obedience to these laws of God. So then if you are sick, you need to examine your life to see which of these eight laws of health you're breaking. And then repent and determine to cooperate with God in the work of restoring you back to health. Because if you continue on disobeying any of these laws, then realize that you are directly undermining God's efforts to preserve your health. And the end result of fighting against God will be your death. But instead, let us follow the admonition found in Exodus 15:26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So, dear ones, the prospect of health and life, or of sickness and death, is plainly left for each one of you to choose. But I earnestly pray that you will choose health and life, and then determine to cooperate with God in keeping each one of these eight laws and principles of health. And then know that if you connect yourselves with Jesus Christ and partake of this living water, then you will indeed have eternal life. You look at quote number 9. In Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So, dear ones, these are the eight laws of health. Come to Jesus Christ, and you will indeed be enabled with the grace and the strength to follow all of these laws and to have such spiritual health that will enable you to enter into eternity. And this is my prayer. Our closing song is entitled, I'm Pressing on the Upward Way. And the lyrics can be found on our website at lightministries.com/ID1938.htm. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where those abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Indeed, Lord, bring us up ever higher. Plant each one of our feet on higher ground than anything this world can offer us. Bring us upward to heaven's tableland. I invite you to please bow your heads and kneel for closing prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for creating us in the marvelous way that you have done, for allowing each of our body systems to be sympathetic and in union and harmony with each other's system. And Father, we thank you for creating us with the need and the continuous need of drinking water and of eating nourishing food. And thank you for the spiritual lessons that Jesus can provide these things for our spiritual needs. Thank you so much for sending him to us to be our Savior, our Redeemer, our Sanctifier, our Purifier, our Guide, our Partner, and also the one who cleanses us from all sin. Thank you, Savior, for being so complete that there's nowhere else we need to look for any of these things but to thee alone. Dear Savior, indeed, come to each one of us. Take control of our hearts. Plant your throne in our hearts. And grant us divine grace that will be ever increasing and growing and filling us to the full. Change us. And please forgive us of our sins in breaking any of these eight laws of health, any of thy 10 commandments. and work within us a great change to bring us into harmony with each one of these divine laws, and thus enable us to be in the best health possible, whether physical or spiritual. For we do not want to lose out of salvation, especially in the last days in which we live. We want to be with you for eternity. Help us to this end, and thank you so much for not forsaking us when we've gone astray, but for mercifully and patiently, tenderly leading us back into the way of life. Thank you so much for thy love. We love you, Father, and we love you, Savior, and we love you, Holy Spirit, for making possible our salvation. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. Thank you for being our Godhead. Thank you that we're one day closer to getting off of this wicked world and entering into eternity with you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, dear ones, this is our after service. If anyone would like to be able to share what they have learned in this 8 laws of health, or anything you would like to share with your remnant family, dear ones, you will have the moment to do so. May you unmute your mic.
I have a prayer request. Many times I have asked prayers for my troubled grandson, Philip. He has been doing quite well in overcoming his bad habits, and he told me he is wanting to find God, but he can't find him. Philip lives near his dad in a town in Ohio. There are no other family members near them. Tuesday of this last week, Philip came over to his dad's house and found him dead in his bed. He tried to revive him, but could not. It was a great shock to his emotions, but he's getting better every day. All family members that have come to be with him are leaving today. Please pray that the Comforter will be with him in great power, as he will be alone. May he find God through this in transforming his life onto salvation. Without prayer, Satan has power. With prayer, Satan's plans are thwarted. Time is short. I believe we shall see lifelong prayers answered according to God's will and wisdom. May his will be done is my prayer. Thank you for your prayers once more, and I pray for you.
If we all can bow our heads on our knees, and I will ask any one of the dear elder that would like to be able to start up the prayer. Dear Sister Dixie, our prayers are with you by God's grace.
Loving Father in heaven, we thank you once again for this Sabbath day. We thank you for the sermon, the service. We hold up Dixie's family member, I think it is, to you, that you might comfort him, guide him, lead him to you. I know when I lost my wife, I felt very badly. Still do. And here's a fellow that lost his father. We ask that you will comfort him, And may this experience draw him closer to you and not move him further away. Bless us throughout the rest of this Sabbath day. May our conversations be such as is that are pleasing to you. And we thank you until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to take this moment to thank each and every one of you for helping and supporting during these three Sabbaths. We are so grateful that the Lord see us through. And I can't wait for Brother Bob to come back. I just pray that everyone was able to have a blessing during these three Sabbath studies. And may we continue to conquer all things that will hold us away from accomplishing what the Lord wants us to do, not only in our body, but also in our spirit. And I personally want to thank each and every one of you. Thank you so much. And thank you, Sister Adele. By God's grace, we can't wait to be able to see our brother back.
Sister Rose, you've done a wonderful job. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. And God was with you, and many hearts were reached because of your faithfulness. We love you so much. Thank you.
Okay, Sister Joan, if you wanted to make me cry, I'm doing it right now. Praise the Lord. It is an honor and a privilege, dear sister. But even in this situation, I know that the Lord was helping me because soon I'm going to have to do the sanctuary of the body. And it has been really, I'm wondering if I was going to be able to do it. But even in these little moments, the Lord even helped us along. Isn't that a wonderful Savior we have?
So is Brother Dick going to sing us away?
Well, being as I got petitioned here, I will. Let's see if I can find my camera so you can watch me. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt,